From the Jackalope Studios high above the city in beautiful Zona Rosa, welcome to Minutes to Memories, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Drumright. It's Minutes to Memories. It's another Friday night. I hope everybody had another great week. We got the holidays coming upon us. Tonight we're going to focus in on a couple different paragraphs from the Tao Te Ching, and then we're going to have a nice long discussion on the epidemic of diabetes.
I have to tell you, you're getting lots of fan mail now. I got another one that someone sent in a message saying, Dr. Love's show, called you Dr. Love because of that intro.
Yeah.
Dr. Love's show is fantastic. It's
awesome.
Informative, and you're inspiring them. They, matter of fact, they were, because of that, they decided to go through a bunch of other shows on the network, and they said they just had searched for health and radio, mm-hmm. and it brought you up. So there you go.
You know, every time I hear that intro, I just makes me smile, you know, because, you know, life is love or fear. And as I've gone through my quests and my trials and tribulations through life, I've learned great lessons on just avoid the fear at all costs, you know.
That's right.
Be fearless in everything you do, you know. Be open-minded and don't think you know everything, but go at life with love and the creativity that comes from your heart. And so every time I hear that song, I just start the show with
a
big smile on my face.
It does.
That is awesome.
Well, I had to tell you that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That made my day. Made my day. So we're going to delve pretty deeply into diabetes tonight. We're going to spend some time on that because it's an epidemic proportion, not just in the United States, but around the planet right now. It's very ugly and it's costly, and the only way to fix it is for people to step up and learn about it and realize what they're doing. And we'll get into that in a minute. Let's go ahead and start off with our verses tonight. I think you're going to really like these verses. We're going to start with verse number 23 of the Tao Te Ching. It's called Sincerity. Speak few words, but say them with quietude and sincerity, and they will be long-lasting. For a raging wind cannot blow all morning, nor a sudden rainstorm last throughout the day. Why is this so? Because it is the nature of the sky and the earth to be frugal. Even human beings cannot alter this nature without suffering the consequences. When we sincerely follow the ethical path, we become one with it. When we become one with the ethical path, it embraces us. When we completely lose our way, we become one with loss. When we become one with loss, loss embraces us. When we sincerely follow the great integrity, we become one with it. When we are one with the great integrity, it embraces us. But when nothing is done sincerely, no thing and no one embraces us. Commentary from Dr. Dale. The actions of a sincere person speak for themselves, but when there is a contradiction between words and deeds, the space between them needs to be filled with mountains of rationalizations. Therefore, those who are sincere speak few words. Those who speak loquaciously are not sincere. Very simply put, the great integrity and insincerity are as incompatible as honesty and dishonesty. When we choose insincerity and dishonesty, there is always a price that we pay to be left lonely and unembraced in our exile from the great integrity. Wow. So when you're talking to somebody and they're just trying to fill in the gaps and run off at the mouth, we say, they're trying to fill in, even if they don't know it. A lot of times they're saying something, but they don't believe in it, so the sincerity's not there. You see this a lot with sales pitches. You know, when somebody's trying to sell something, if they talk too much, they really don't believe in what they're selling. You know, I say that, but there's people like me that just like to talk. You know, I spend 12 hours talking seminars, and I've spent 20 years researching this stuff. I just got a lot to say. Maybe I'll put this into my mindset, is that don't stay on one topic too long. Say a topic, say it with sincerity, and then move on to the next topic and say that with sincerity as well. I like it. Verse 24, avoiding voids. Standing on tiptoe will only make you tipsy. Walking with long strides will not allow a long walk. Shining the light on yourself will never enlighten you. Being self-righteous precludes you from being right. Boasting about yourself will never boast your eminence. Parading yourself parodies leadership. Tao consciousness avoids the cultivation of all those ego-bloated voids. I love this stuff. Commentary. All of our artificialities, superficialities, and needs for parading our egos are compensations for the great void that derives from living loveless lives. When this void will be transcended, our individual rhythms and goals will become coincident with our ecologies. This is what Lao Tzu means by the return of the great integrity, when self and social actualization will fill all the ego-bloated voids, releasing us from the compensatory addictions that we now so desperately cultivate. That's going to play right into our talk about diabetes later on today, because there's so much of what we identify with now that's making us sick that we need to really have the courage to look at for real what's going on and what we're doing on each day. Make some choices. I'm going to go on to verse number 25 today because these are very short verses. 25 is naming the nameless. What preceded life? The earth. What preceded the earth? The universe. What preceded the universe? The soundless and shapeless origin of origins, ever transforming and having no beginning nor end. This mother of the universe is boundless and nameless, but if we wanted to share with you anything about this remarkable non-executing executor, we must invent a name for it. We will call it the Tao, because Tao means great. Incredibly great, because it occupies infinite space, being fully present in the whole universe and in every infinitesimal particle. Because this great integrity created the universe, and the universe created the earth, and the earth created us, we are all incredibly great. One with all with one. Life derives from the nature of the earth. The earth derives from the nature of the universe. The universe derives from the nature of the great integrity. And the great integrity is the omnipresent, omnigenous, omniform, the universal material and spiritual substance, and the holyversal interlinkage and coition of existence. It's everything that you can possibly imagine and more. Beyond the limited imagination of man lies the great integrity or the background universe. Commentary. Here in this remarkable verse, we find Lao Tzu occupying, though never smugly, a more advanced scientific position than the most advanced science of the 21st century. Certainly, physics in both relativity and quantum theory represents the most comprehensive analysis of the nature of the universe we live in compared with any of the other sciences. However, the macrophysics, relativity theory, even Einstein's E=mc², which demonstrated the inextricable relationship of energy, matter, and the speed of light, has not allowed physics to go the full way with Lao Tzu, who concluded 2,700 years ago that there was never a beginning of time, matter, or space, and that the great integrity is infinite. Physicists still search for the beginning of the universe, and now posit that the Big Bang theory is their seemingly obstinate clinging to the last vestige of a particularistic Newtonian-Cartesian paradigm. In 21st century microphysics, quantum theory, the search for the Holy Grail, the smallest particle of matter, has also still not been abandoned. Once thought to be the mighty atom, quantum physics has further reduced the fundamental fragments of the universe, first to electrons, positrons, and neutrons, then to neutrinos and antineutrinos, then further to photons, hadrons, quarks, antiquarks, and mesons. Finally, quantum physics has posited that the particles themselves are not the most irreducible fragment of matter, but that even smaller components can be discerned as waves, specifically as superstrings. What indeed may very well become of the most advanced scientific understanding of nature of the universe is Lao Tzu's proposal of the great integrity, where both the macro and the micro aspects meet in an irreducible infinitude without beginnings, endings, or entities of any kind that are not related and interlinked. Indeed, physics, David Bohm's Holoverse may be the conceptualization most closely related to Lao Tzu's great integrity, and to the reality of our universe whose integrity we seem to need to deny as long as part of us is at war with any other part. What Lao Tzu and David Bohm are suggesting is that the concept that we and the universe we live in are composed of discrete and separate parts is an illusion. Bohm's definition of the Holoverse is summarized below. Ultimately, the entire universe, with all its particles, including those constituting human beings, their laboratories, observing instruments, etc., has to be understood as a single undivided whole, in which analysis into separately and independent existence parts has no fundamental status. That is excellent. It's something that I talk about a lot. I see it in genetic research and DNA research. I call it the illusion of the microscope. The deeper you look, the more you're going to see. The more you see, the deeper you look. The deeper you look, the more you're going to see. It's a self-fulfilling paradigm that you, as a curiosity mind center, are trying to separate yourself from the background and try to explain your existence in this time-space universe. The more you look, the more it's going to produce something for you to look at. As the observer, you are literally creating your observations as you delve deeper into this. So it's an infinite depth. The further you look in, the farther you're going to see. The farther you look out through the telescopes, the more you're going to see. There's no end to it because you're making it up simply because you are a part of it and you're looking in a mirror back at yourself. You ever looked at one of those mirrors that have the mirror inside the mirror and it just kind of goes ding, 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 off into infinity? Oh, yeah. See, that's what you're looking at right now. When you look down that microscope, when you look at the DNA, when you look at the understandings of things, the whole attempt to compartmentalize and separate things out is creating a self-fulfilling illusion. There will always be something else to research. So if you're getting paid to do the research, you have a permanent job because there is no ultimate answer in this unified field theory. It all is as it is, and you're, as part of it, trying to observe yourself by looking in the mirror. And you can't look at yourself on the outside. You have to turn to the inside to find the center, which is where you're coming from.
Exactly.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, that mirror thing, we used to use that trick at the haunted houses to make it look like you were in like an infinity tunnel or something. We do stuff like that.
Like a reverse silver mirror on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And once you get an image, it just goes...
It's cool as heck.
Yeah, it's a neat... But see, that's what reality is. DNA is an awesome example of that. Is they found now with deep research in the DNA is, and I was hearing something else about this the other day, cancer. There's lots of your genes that contribute to cancer, but no one gene that quote unquote causes cancer, because the genes are in a dance of life. They're not individual things. They're part of a process, and they work together with the environmental influence and the general great integrity around them to try to survive and try to manifest on a routine basis. If you poison them, then they're going to work together to create a tumorous lesion and not be healthy and happy. You can't treat something that the body's doing on purpose. Okay? Oh, well, I'll take a big, deep breath on that one. That was some good stuff. I like to end my week like that. Todd, we ready for a first break? We can come back to talk about diabetes after that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Go grab some water, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about some of our lifestyle conditions and what's killing us out there. See you in a minute. This is Dr. Drumright, Minutes to Memories.
Oh, but love. there. When I need to quench my desire for the paranormal, only one thing can hit the spot. I tune into Night Watch with Todd Sheets. Accept no substitutes. When you need the real thing, tune in to Night Watch. The only show that shudders and shakes and bumps in the night. Let's love, baby. And don't forget, Night Watch is also available on iTunes for your portable paranormal pleasure. Night Watch, paranormal radio for everyone. Why settle for less? Demand the best. Night Watch.
Look, whose guitars are these? Move them around. You had me. You had me at hello. Maybe it's the Crown Royal.
Jackalope 105 FM.
All right, we're back. This is Dr. Drumright and Minutes to Memories. All right, guys, we're going to get into a topic tonight that has come up a lot. And I want to say something before we really get into this too deep is America and the people around here have changed a lot in the last year or two. I've been on this crusade to promote wellness and taking care of yourself and these kind of things for almost 20 years now. And I was beating my head against the wall most of those years because the things I say was just inconvenient for people. It didn't fit into the way they were thinking, what their lifestyles were. But suddenly, in the last couple of years, and maybe it was the economic crisis, I don't know what, but something has changed around here. And I'm really excited to see it, that people are asking the right questions. People are really taking big leaps. We've seen health fads before, but this one seems a lot different to me because people are coming in here and they're not saying, I want to go on a diet. They're saying, you know, I'm tired of this and I want to do something different. I mean, show me the ropes. Show me how I can change my life. And when somebody says, I want to go on a diet versus I want to change my life, that's a big difference. And it really does my heart well to hear these kind of questions and see my patients dropping 15 pounds in 2 weeks and getting on the bicycles and getting vibrant and active about their life. And I just want to thank you all out there, the patients that are approaching this and asking me these questions, because like I said, I've been beating my head against the wall for 20 years trying to get this information out. And finally, it's getting out and people are asking these questions and really starting to get interested in this stuff. So we're going to talk tonight about type 2 diabetes, or what we call adult onset diabetes. Adult onset diabetes is very different than the genetic version of diabetes, which is what's called childhood diabetes or type 1. Childhood diabetes is a genetic deformity where the DNA in your cells simply can't process the glucose or can't get the glucose into the cells. And this is treated with insulin injections, and it's very easily managed if you have access to the proper healthcare treatment. But type 2 diabetes, adult onset diabetes, is a completely different animal. Now, in the developing world and in the world today, you see a lot of children with type 2 diabetes. We call it adult onset diabetes because prior to the 1970s, it only occurred in older adults. But because of our rapidly declining food supply and lifestyles, you're seeing it showing up in 8 and 9 year old kids now. And if they're showing up with obesity and type 2 diabetes at that age, they are cursed, and they really are. And somebody's really not doing their job to help these young people learn what good living and good eating is. Now, I wanted to start this discussion off with a little bit of understanding of why it's such a problem. You see, the flavor sweet. Genetically, in the way your body works, up until the last 100 years, the flavor sweet was a feedback mechanism. It's a vibration frequency that your surface of your tongue picks up on to tell you that something is not spoiled, so you don't get the rotten flavor, and it's also that it's ripe, so you don't get the sour flavor of something that's not ready yet. So when you pick that berry and put it in your mouth to taste it before you chew it up and eat it, You're using your tongue as a sensor device to see, is this food edible? Is this food good?
So prior to the last 100 years, the flavor sweet and the underlying desire and pleasure that it brings up in the serotonin centers of the upper brain actually served us very well to keep us from poisoning ourselves from just grabbing a bunch of berries and whatever and shoving it in our face and eating it. You could taste it first, and if it tasted sweet, you knew that this was probably something that was very edible, and you could use it as a nutritional food source. The problem occurred in the 1920s and the 1930s, all the way up to present, same time you see a lot of other problems occurring, is the chemical companies figured this out, and they realized that they could sell you something that's not really food, but if it tastes sweet, it had a frequency, it's a molecular frequency that tingled your tongue, and right away it would stimulate your pleasure centers and you would eat it even if it wasn't even food. So they began creating and experimenting with these chemicals that they could add to crap, you know, processed, highly chemical processed stuff. And because it had these particular chemical signatures on it, when it touched your tongue, it created a pleasure center in your brain and you would continue to consume it. So they through their chemical manipulation for profit, they changed your food supply around so that you get the pleasure, instant pleasure of consuming this, but there's no nutritional value behind it. With my children, I say we have four food groups. You have carbohydrates, you have proteins, you have fats, and then you have drugs. I call processed stuff drugs because they get you high. You feel good, you get the pleasure center going, but then there's no nutritional quality there. So you have to eat more. And then the big mistake occurs when you call this processed stuff, drugs, food. So you're consuming what you think is food, yet you're getting no nutritional quality out of it. So you're left hungry. Your body's still craving the nutrients, the minerals and the vitamins and the stuff that food's supposed to supply, yet you just ate. So you have these calories, which the body uses and puts into storage or puts into use, yet no nutrition to actually use those calories. So you have hollow calories, we call it. And the hollow calories cause your body to rebound like a basketball. You get the high and then you get the low, then you eat more and get the high and get the low, and you have this addiction that builds up because the pleasure center is stimulated by eating this stuff, so you eat more of it, yet there's no nutritional quality there, so you're getting calories but no nutrients, so your body's still hungry, so it sends the hunger centers back up to the brain saying, no, I need food, and you're like, well, this stuff tastes good, let's eat more of that, that's food, right? Somebody told me that was food. Well, whoever told you that was food was trying to sell you something, and what they were selling you is the death culture, the what we call a standard American diet, or SAD. It has nothing to do with what's good for you. It has everything to do with shelf life and profit and getting you to eat a bunch of stuff that you really shouldn't eat otherwise if they didn't add these chemical additives. So that's where I want to start with this. Now, type 2 diabetes is different than a genetic version of diabetes because what really happens is, many times, it's not lack of insulin that causes the diabetes. Now, insulin is a hormone that your pancreas produces that what it does is it unlocks the cells of the body so that the sugar that's in the bloodstream can come out of the bloodstream and get inside the cell where the mitochondria will use that for energy. So the insulin, think of it as a key that opens up the door of the cell to get the sugar from the outside to the inside. Well, you as a normal human being have plenty of insulin around. The problem happens is when you're so super saturated in sugar that your cells are already saturated. They have as much sugar as they need inside them. And the way this gateway theory, this gateway mechanism works on the cell membrane is the insulin unlocks or opens the door, but if the party's already full, they can't fit any more partiers in there. You know, it's like going to a big party, but the room's already full. So you open the door, you can't get in because it's already full. And that's what happens. The sugar that's in the bloodstream that you're still consuming, the hollow sugars you're consuming, can't get into the cell no matter how much insulin you put into the system. So you open all the doors around the frat house, but nobody else can get in because it's already full. So that is the problem of type 2 diabetes. Now, why is that dangerous? Because sugars floating around in the bloodstream are acidic and they're toxic. They do damage. They are free radicals that cause damage to your arteries. They cause damage to your nerves. They cause your eyes to rot. They cause your feet to fall off. You have diabetic retinopathy, which means your eye rots out from the inside. You have amputations, the number one cause of amputations, because the sugar is so poisonous, it's literally like dipping your hand in acid, except from the inside out. You're chewing up the tissue by overutilizing this acidic sugar that's flowing around everywhere and can't get into the cells because there's just too much of this stuff around. So that's type 2 diabetes. It's an insidious process, which means it kind of creeps up on you. You don't even know you have it and until you get some blood work done. And then by that time, it's so far gone. You see, your body will try to balance it out, itself out. By the time you see blood imbalances that show up on a doctor's lab report, that's over 95% gone. Your body is very good at keeping itself balanced as much as possible. So by the time something shows up on a lab work or blood work, it's 95% out of balance. It's shot. And then the doctor starts coming in with heroic measures to try to save this. They'll inject you with more insulin for a while. And, you know, that might work for a while, but it no long term. You keep having to have more and more and more because it's not the lack of insulin that's causing the problem. It's the lifestyle that's causing the problem. So what we're suffering from is an epidemic of poor lifestyle choices, which we have to take personal responsibility for. But as a culture, we have to also understand that what we've been taught and what we're being told on the TV every night is not the truth. It has nothing to do with what's good for you or anything about you at all, except trying to get into your back pocket and trying to sell something to you. So a couple figures, and then this is out of a book I'm reading right now. 2006 International Diabetes Federation, 246 million people worldwide, or 5.9% of the world's adult population, currently have type 2 diabetes. Okay, as populations switch from native diets to foods of commerce, their rate of diabetes increases, eventually reaching the same proportions as the Western societies. They're seeing it's almost like measles and different things with the Native Americans. When the Europeans came over here, they introduced these diseases of filth that the Native Americans weren't exposed to. So their immune systems were not built for that. They didn't have the training in the immune system cells to protect themselves from these diseases. So millions of these natives were wiped out because of exposure to the diseases. Well, diabetes is doing the same thing. Although Americans' diet is terrible and we have a high rate of diabetes, in China, Japan, and Africa and third world countries, their diabetes is exploding as they begin to adopt the American lifestyle and the simple sugar processed foods, the commercial foods of commerce, because by now here in America, we're on about the third generation of diabetes. So, because this all started in the 1920s and 1930s around here. So we've literally, just like any living thing, we've made genetic adaptations and we're able to tolerate the bad foods around here simply because our parents and their parents before them already prepped us for this. But you export this terrible diet and this terrible lifestyle to native cultures that are used to high activity and good raw foods. They drop dead much quicker. The diabetes is running rampant through China. The expenses are going worldwide right now with hundreds of millions of people suffering from this lifestyle disease. Sixth leading cause of death in the United States, according to the Center for Disease Control in 2002. Annual costs for treating diabetes in the U.S. in 2002 was $264 billion. A quarter of $1 trillion. Now, if your job is to treat diabetes, man, you got a market there, baby. You got money going out at $250 billion to help these people manage their disease. Now, see, there's the problem is when you go into the standard system, it's very profitable to keep you sick, to not help you get well, but to actually give you some medications, some stuff to reduce your symptoms, but not fix your problem. Because if you fixed your problem, then that $264 billion, you could get to keep it in your own pocket. Okay? Then what would they do? They would all have to find something else to do, like maybe go garden or something, you know, and actually raise some real food. Okay. Well, when we come back here in a couple minutes, we're going to go down a list of things that you're doing on a daily basis, and I'm going to ask you to challenge your identity, challenge the things that you believe in, challenge the things that you like and the things that you dislike. You see, the root core of this problem is a nonchalant way of, well, it is what it is. You know, well, I like it because I like it, and these kind of attitudes. And we're going to give you what I give my children. It's called the green bean lecture. And we're going to talk about each moment of each day. You make choices, and whether you're making the choices or not, like Rush says, you know, even if you decide not to make a choice, you still have made a choice. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. I'm sorry, I'll roll off there. So you guys have a nice break here. We're going to come back and we're getting into some details of not only what you're doing that's causing this problem, but what you can do differently to reverse this problem and save $264 billion a year and maybe save our country at the same time. Have a good break. This is Dr. Drumright, Minutes to Memories. I'll talk to you in a moment.
A big bag of Skittles, lemon, lime, grape, watermelon. Oh!
Jackalope 105 FM.
All right, we're back. It's Friday. Minutes of Memories. All right, well, we're talking about diabetes, baby. The sixth leading cause of death in the United States today. And you know, it's very much connected to heart disease and cancer and all the other causes of death or degenerative causes of death. Starting, many people, it's underreported that diabetes is actually present when the autism or the cause of death is listed as cancer or heart disease or something else. The diabetic or the too much sugar, too much free radicals floating around in the system is the underlying cause of most all of these other diseases. So, what are you doing that's causing this diabetes? Probably top of the list, television. Television. Now get this. A recent study that followed thousands of men, I didn't get the exact number, over 10 years, found that men that watched TV more than 19 hours per week had 150% more likely to become diabetic than those watching less than 3 hours. The television is a form of inactivity. You're sitting on your duff doing nothing, watching somebody else live their life, and they get all wrapped up in this, and while in the meantime, your body's rotting right out from under you. Remember some of my old lectures. Your body's only 6 weeks old. So if you don't train it every day, train for life, then it's going to rot. And that's what diabetes is. It's a persistent rot. It's the body that's not getting used, that's sitting there and festering in its own toxic waste and rotting right out from under you. So get off the couch. Stop watching somebody else live their life. Hey, you can listen to the radio show when you're running. You know, put it on your headphones. Download this stuff on iPod. Get out there and do some jogging and get the body going. Exercise is critically important to reduce your risk of diabetes. You see, when you use the muscles and make them do something, they burn the glucose on the inside of the cell. Remember, we were talking about the glucose on the outside of the cell can't get into the party because it's already full. Well, glycogen is stored in the liver and in the muscles. And glycogen is the form of sugar that your body uses. When you consume sugar, it'll convert over to this glycogen, which is a useful form of the sugar. So what you have to do is you have to make the muscles burn. Exercise. Do some push-ups. Get some cardio. Exercise is very simple. You need about 15 to 20 minutes of getting your heart rate up to 120 beats a minute. You know, if that's jogging, if it's sex, I mean, whatever it takes, you know. Get your heartbeat up to 120 beats a minute for 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes every day. And what happens is, at 15 to 20 minutes, your body, you've heard of aerobics? What happens is, your body switches from burning sugar to burning oxygen. You go from an anaerobic sugar burn in the cells until you burn out all the sugar that's in the muscles, and they switch over to an anaerobic burning pure oxygen, which is a pure burn for the muscles. But you don't have to keep exercising once that's happened. You call it the second wind. Once you get to the second wind, you catch your breath, and then you can chill out then, because you've burned out the glycogen stores in the muscles, and now the muscles will open those gates, the insulin will kick in, and your cells will be more sensitive to the insulin, and that sugar, that glycogen that's sitting out there in the bloodstream, will start pouring into the cells where it's supposed to be so that they can use it for further use. So you drastically and quickly reduce the blood glucose, the diabetes glucose, by exercise. And there's no other way of doing that, okay? You have to get up and do that yourself. There's no Russian stimulation. There's no special pill or special trick that can exercise for you. You have to learn to exercise. And that brings me to the green bean lecture, okay? Green bean lecture is what I teach my children, and I say around the clinic all the time. You see, a green bean is a green bean is a green bean. You decide whether you like that green bean or not. If you decide you don't like the green bean, you're right. You don't like that green bean. Green bean doesn't care. It's just a green bean. If you decide you like that green bean, you're right. You like that green bean. Green bean doesn't care. It's just a green bean. So the moral of the story here is, you design your own life by the choices that you make. And the thing that people get trapped by is, once they've made a choice, they allow their ego to get involved in that choice. And now I define myself by that choice. I don't like green beans. And that's just it. That's how it is, because
I'm Daryl and I don't like green beans, so that's just how it is. See, that you're setting your own trap with that kind of mindset. What we have to do is we have to go back through our lives and challenge our decisions, our likes and our dislikes. Test them on a daily basis. Try it again. You know, if you don't like that green bean, yet everything tells you that dark green things are good for you and your body really does like green beans, you've just decided that you didn't like it. You can very much, you say a woman's prerogative is to change your mind. Well, a human's prerogative is to change your mind. Everything that you identify with, everything that you say is you, challenge it. And if it still fits, if it's productive and it's helpful and it helps your body survive and thrive and helps you as a person grow, then keep it up. You know, it's past the test. But if you challenge it and, well, I don't like the green bean, and you look at that, it's like, well, what is that decision serving me? How is me deciding not to like green beans helpful? It's not helpful. So all you have to do, and I know that this is a little more harder than it is for me to say this, but I've practiced it many times myself and I've seen hundreds of people go through in the clinic, is just have the courage to ask that question and then repeat after me, I like green beans. I like green beans. And believe it or not, the advertisers know this already. The television knows this. It's telling you this already. I mean, see, I'm teaching you how to make your own decisions. The television is making decisions for you. You're sitting there for 18 hours a week watching somebody else tell you how to decide what you like, what you don't like. Okay? Stop letting somebody else make those choices for you. Start looking at your own life. Start asking that question. Well, I don't like that. Well, why don't I like that? That's a tough question because you most of the time you don't have an answer for that question. Well, why don't I like it? Well, I just don't like it. Why? Well, I just don't like it. Why? What happened? Why did you decide that you don't like it? I'll tell you what, most of the time, it's going to come down to that darn TV. Because you and I and our generations and the generations after us have all been exposed to this marketing technology. You know, and I've studied undergraduate marketing. I know how they think and they know how you think. And they put these things together to teach you what to like and what not to like. And then you add the DNA of the tongue that automatically reacts with pleasure with that sweet taste. You're going to be drinking the soda pop. You're going to be eating that crap because the television combined with this misinformation on your tongue makes you do things that you really, once you think about it, don't want to be doing. Stop with the soda pop. Get up and exercise. All right, exercise number one. Number two, let's see here. Processed foods. We've kind of already hit on that. We were talking about that earlier and everything else. This is really important. I've had whole shows on this. Grow your own food or know where your food's coming from. The more recently it was alive, the more food it is. If you just picked it and you recognize it as an animal or a plant, then that's food. That's going to have nutritional density, they call it. It's going to have nutrients, vitamins, minerals, things that your body can use as food. So that when you eat it, it has a high, what we call a satiety, or it satisfies you. It fulfills your body's need, so you're not hungry anymore. Eating processed foods, everything that comes out of a factory, if it's white granular, white flours, white sugars, NutraSweet, Splenda, all these kind of things are processed chemicals. They're not food. They make you happy because they taste good, but there's no nutritional quality there. So stay away from processed foods. And that especially has to do with dairy. If you're going to consume dairy, make sure it's raw, fresh dairy. There's a lot of information out there on the diabetes websites and stuff that tell you to stay away from dairy entirely. But, you know, they're coming from the mindset that the only dairy you have access to is processed dairy. And I absolutely agree. Processed pasteurized dairy is toxic swill. It's terrible stuff. Don't consume it. Don't consume pre-shredded cheese. It's covered in plastic. If you take and shred your own cheese, a aged proper cheese, and you shred it, you leave it there for an hour, it'll cluster all back together. It won't stay shredded. So that's how you tell if it's a good cheese or not, if it stays shredded. If it comes in a bag and it's all shredded and it doesn't cluster back together, that's been sprayed with plastic, bro. That is bad news. You don't eat that stuff. That is plastic shelf stuff. It's like those plastic apples that you see on your table, okay? Don't eat them. That's not food. So if you take that cheese and stick it out on the shelf and it doesn't rot, don't eat it. Somebody said they put a Twinkie on the refrigerator when they're in college, and 10 years later they come back, it's still soft and doughy. That's not food. If the bacteria won't eat it, you probably shouldn't either, okay? Life is processed through food, not chemicals. Twinkies are chemicals. They're not food. Okay?
Yeah, but man, Suzy Q's and Twinkies, man, they're good.
That tongue thing, you know, that tongue, that vibration is sweet. I know.
I can't say no to Suzy Q.
You know, I'm there with you, bro. I mean, I really know the feeling, because it's that serotonin thing in your brain, you know? It's like you get high on it. It's like, oh, man. Oh, wow. That's good stuff. But there's no food there, okay? You might as well take a line of cocaine. It's like, all right, there's some good stuff. You're right. What kind of nutrition was in that?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Thanks, Dr. D.
I like radio. You can make all those funny sounds. Okay, so I think we've harped on that enough. Another thing that you really got to pay attention to is toxins, okay? There's a lot of poisons out there that are just floating around in the atmosphere and in your water supply. Cadmium is an industrial waste product that's in the water supply. It's in the air. It's in the food you eat. It's everywhere. So these are what's called heavy metal toxins. Another very important one is mercury. August 2006, American Chemical Society, conclusive evidence that methylmercury induces pancreas cell apoptosis and dysfunction. Apoptosis means self-destruction. They commit suicide when they're exposed to mercury. Mercury directly affects the beta cells of the pancreas. The beta cells are the part of the pancreas that produces insulin. So having mercury exposure literally murders the pancreas, and so you don't have the insulin available to actually get the sugar, open the doors, and get the sugar out of the blood and into the muscle. Your primary exposure to mercury is in, they talk about deep sea fish because it accumulates in the environment. But I find the most obvious exposure to mercury is in your vaccinations. Your flu shot has this methylmercury in it, and you're injecting it directly into your body. So diabetes, baby. You take the shots, you're going to get diabetes. You know, and that's just not worthwhile, and we've had whole shows on that. You know that. Arsenic. Another chemical toxin that's everywhere, and it's a hormone disruptor. Arsenic is in implications on cancer, infertility, and diabetes. What it does is it stops the regulations of certain hormones that are very similar to estrogen and testosterone and your sex hormones. There's other hormones in your body that operate on the same premises and the same molecules, and having arsenic around shuts those hormones down, and it literally shuts your hormone processes down and kills you slowly. Lead. We know we don't have lead paint anymore because lead is a heavy metal. It concentrates in the glandular tissue, shuts the glands down, prevents your body from being healthy. Fluoride. Fluoride impairs glucose tolerance. And here's the big thing with fluoride. Fluoride reduces your sensitivity to the insulin, so it makes it hard for the insulin to do its job on the cells. And the problem with the diabetic is diabetics are very thirsty. Because this acidic environment of having the glucose around, they drink a lot of water. So when you're drinking a lot of water that's fluoridated, you're increasing the concentration of fluoride in your system. Now, there's recent studies on fluoride. I think I talked about this in other radio shows, that even the CDC last week, the Center for Disease Control, has put out a warning to do not use fluoridated water in an infant's or a child's formula up to the age of 2 because of the neuro damage that fluoride causes. It causes brain damage. So Kansas City still fluoridates their water. Canada is looking at stopping the process, and hopefully we can get some political momentum going here to call your city councilman, call anybody who's in charge of fluoride, and tell them to stop poisoning you. Stop. I mean, the Geneva Convention says they can't give you a medicine without your permission, yet they're doing it. They're putting medicinal fluoride, which is an environment, a toxic waste coming from the fertilizer industry, right in your water. And if you're diabetic, it's a catch-22 because you're drinking more water, poisoning yourself further, making the problem even worse. So get the mercury and the fluoride and the poisons out of your system. And clean up your body. There's ways of purifying your house. Reverse osmosis is probably the most effective way of cleaning the water up. We're going to probably have a whole show on water purification in the future. Air pollution, where you get the arsenic and you get a lead exposure and the different things that are coming into the air. There's air purification systems. We're going to have whole shows on that in the future. We're going to show you ways that you can clean up your environment and clean up yourself on the inside and out. So to conclude up this everything on, let's see here, how bad is it? We talked about that, all the contributing factors. Diabetes contributes to cancer, heart disease, candida, the yeast like this high, rich sugar environment. So the more processed foods you eat, the more yeast grows in your body. Candidiasis is an epidemic as well. We can have a whole show on that. So what you can do for it, exercise, watch what you eat, don't eat it if you don't know what it is. And then most importantly, start asking yourself that one simple question. Why do I like this? Why do I dislike this? Your choices and likes and dislikes are the key to your success in rejuvenating the body. Remember that your body is a population of our 2 trillion cells. Average lifespan is 6 weeks. That is so important. 6 weeks old. So in the next 6 weeks, you start changing your likes and your dislikes, and you can reverse the process. The weight will fall off, the energy will come up, your mind will clear, and you'll be a much healthier, happier, more vital person as we take America into the next generation of a consciousness and personal responsibility. I love you all. Have a great weekend. Have a great holiday if I don't talk to you next week. This is Dr. Drumright, Minutes to Memories. Call me Dr. Love. We'll see you later, man.